Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Beis. We are 9 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis Omar Rava. So we're moving along in Perek Behema HaMekasha, which deals with halachos of an Uber. The Gemara on daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis brought a very important memra from the Amora Rabba in the laws of Tuma V'Tahira. Rabba said, "Kishem Shetuma Belua Eina Metama." Kach tahira belua eina matam. Two halachas. Number one, if something that's tame, such as nevela, is belua, it's swallowed, it's absorbed in something else, the halacha is eina matam. The same is true, said Rabba, if a davar tahar is belua, it's swallowed, it's absorbed in something else, then it cannot become tame. The Gemara said that the makar to tuma belua ena mitama is learned out from tumas nevela. Taira belua ena mitama is learned kal v'choymer from tuma belua. There were kashas and tirutzim, ashakla v'tayro, all within the realm of tuma v'tayro. But either way, this up until this point is Rabba's chiddush. Two things: tuma belua ena mitama, tahira belua ena mitama. Says the Gemara, my Rava, who was Rabba's Talmud, asked the Kasha to his Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, you're coming into Shir and you're saying these two big chidushim, tuma belua ena mitama, tahira belua ena mitama, travayu tanini. They're both mishnayos, tuma belua tanina and tahira belua tanina. Where's this mishnah? It's a Mishnah in the 10th parak of Masechtas Mikvos, Bola Tabas Tmeyo. If somebody swallowed a tabas, a ring, that was Tomei Tomas Meis, Rashi says that it came in contact with a mace. And we know the rule is, Cherev Harehu Kecholo. So if metal touches a mace, the metal now gets the halacha of a mace, and it can now be metama and make someone that comes in contact with it tomei tumas meis. So if somebody, a person, swallows a tabas that had in it tumas meis, so the halach is that person is now tomei tumas meis, as if he would have touched the meis itself. And for that reason, the halach is toivo. He has to go through his shlishi, the shvi, and maybe even would need hazah from the parah aduma, and only afterwards he has to go to the mikvah and be toivo, and he's going to be able to eat truma. Why? He's tomei. The reason he's Tomei is because he came in contact with a tabas that came in contact with a mace. Cherev harehu kecholov. He has a status of Tumas mace. Hekiyo, if he spits out the tabas, the halacha is Tameya. He is going to be Tomei. V'timasoi, and he's going to be Tomei again. The point, however, what you see from this Mishnah, is that up until the point that he spits out this tabas, he's not considered Tomei by virtue of the fact that he's in contact with the tabas. L'chaira, why does it help if the tabas is still inside his guf for him to now go to the mikvah and be able to eat truma? L'chaira, if he still has the tabas inside of him, he's still in contact. When he swallows it, it's a problem. When he spits it out, it's a problem. L'chaira, if that's the case, when it's inside of him, it should also be a problem. Because at that point, he's in contact with the tabas, which has tumas meis. What do you see from here? It must be, Rava said, because tuma belua ain't a tuma. So he told Rabba, Rabbi, you're saying a big chiddush, tuma belua ain't a metama. It's not such a big chiddush. In fact, it's a mefurish a mishnah. So, Rabbi, what are you trying to say? It's saying over a mishnah mikvais. Everybody knows the mishnah mikvais. And the second thing that Rabba said, which was, tahira belua, it cannot become tame. Tanina, that's also a mishnah. It's the same mishnah. Now, bala tabas tahir. If somebody swallowed a tabas, that's tar. And he entered an oilam mace, the he's a vishina. Taval, and he went through the whole Tyra process, and then he spit out the tabas. There's no problem. Meaning, if somebody swallows a tabas that's tahar, and then he enters a toilet maze, the tabas itself never becomes tame. Meaning, if the tabas was inside of him, it's not going to become tame. Why not? The tabas is in the person who's in the oil amaze, let the tabas become tame, tumas meis. The teretz is because the tabas is balua. And you see from here that a dover tahar, that's balua, can't become tame. So again, both chidushim that Rabbi said would seem to be mefurish mishnayis in mesachtes mikvois, says the Gemara, no. So just a little bit of an introduction before we see exactly what the Gemara means to say. And that is, Rabba said that really those two Mishnayos and Masechtas Mikvos, there'd be two ways to understand. One way to understand the Mishnayos is Tuma Belua Eina Tmeya and Taira Belua Eina Metama. Meaning, you could understand that what the Mishnah is saying is that tabas that's balua inside of somebody doesn't have an ability to be mitama. And it's for that reason that if a person swallows the tabas that's tameh, he can go through the regular tahira process, assume he's tar, only when he spits it out, that he comes into real contact with it. When it's not balua anymore, is it an issue? Because tumah balua ain't a mitama, and tahira balua ain't a mitama as well. And that's why if a person has a tabas tahira inside of him and he walks into an oil maze, it's not going to be tumah. But really, he said there's another way to learn it. Maybe tumah balua is mitama. Maybe Taira Balua could become Tomei. If that's the case, why is it that if a person has a Tabas that's Tomei inside of him, he's not Tomei? Because how do you become Tomei when you come in contact with a Dover Tomei? You have to come in contact with him. Maybe the definition of contact is being touching a part, an external part of a person. So if a Dover Tomei touches an external part of you, then you become Tomei. But if it touches an internal part of you, maybe that's not enough for you to become Tomei. It's what's known in the vernacular of Tumah V'Tahira as Tumas Beis Hastarim. It could be if the Maga happened, the Beis Hastarim, in a hidden place, in an internal place, it's not Tomei. So Rabbi said like this, it's true, now that I told you that Tumah Balua Enem Tama and Taira Balua Enem Taira. It's Pashat, that's what the Mishnah Mikvayis means. But before I said this, really, there could have been another way to understand the Mishnah. Maybe the reason there's no Tumah and Taira in the Mishnah Mesachtas Mikvayis is not because the Dover Tomei doesn't have an ability to be Metama Be'etzim, because it's Balua. Maybe a Dover Balua could be Metama. Maybe the reason it's not Metama is because the Maga is happening internally. What's it touching? It's touching one of the internal organs. That's called Magas Beis Hastarim. If it happens in Beis Hastarim, that's the reason it's not. L'may nafkamino. What difference does it make if Pshat of the Mishnah Mikvayis is because it's a Tumah Balua, so there's a Chesaron in the Etzem Tumah, or the issue is Beis Hastarim, there's no problem with the Etzem Tumah. The problem is that it's not considered a Giyah. What would be if somebody swallowed two tabois? One was Tamei and one was Tahar. And the two tabois touched each other inside. If Tumah Balua Be'etzim doesn't have an ability to be Metama, if Taira Balua Be'etzim doesn't have an ability to become Tamei, so that even though they're touching each other in a regular Nagiya, albeit in a funny place, but in a regular Nagiya, so that Nalacha is the would-be Tumah. If, however, there's a Halacha of Tumah Balua in a Metama Be'etzim, and Taira Balua in a Metama Be'etzim, so then the Halacha is that there'd be no way for it to be Tamei. Says the Gemara, Ki Kama Rabba. You want to know what Rabba's Chiddush was? Where was Negeya the Chiddush? It was Negeya Kigan Shabbalah Shtei Tabois Achas Meiv Achas Tahira. Tlei Metamulei Tmei Lahira. If all I had was the Mishnah Mikvayis, I would have thought that maybe in that case there is going to be Tomei. And the reason it's going to be Tomei is because at the end of the day it's not Magas Beis Hastarim. Because although it's happening in a Beis Hastarim, but the two Tabois are not touching each other in a Beis Hastarim way, they're touching each other in the regular way, in the ordinary way. Kamashmalan Rabba, the Pshan of the Mishnah Mikvayis is not because of Beis Hastarim. It's much more than that. It's because Tumah Balua ain't a Metama. Taira Balua ain't a Metama. If that's the reason that even if the two Tabois were together Balua, at the end of the day, they're both Balua. If they're both Balua, I can't be Metama. You can't receive Tumah from me. And it's for that reason that Rabba had to say his Chiddush. Speak to Gemara. Akasha. So what does that do with our sugya? Why are we discussing Rabbi's halacha in the first place? Because it relates back to our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Ha'isha shemeis v'lada b'teich me'yeh, a woman who had a child that died inside her rechem. U'pashta chayes yada, and the midwife put her hand inside the rechem of the mother. V'naga b'yachat, and she touched this Uber that's not alive. So the halacha is a chayat me'a tuma shiva, but isha toira she ain't sava. The chay is going to be tummy, the isha is not going to be tummy. Faith in Gemara Kasha, why is the chayat tummy? Because she touched the Uber, the Uber, the chayatik shte kabois tamu, the chayra they're like two tabois, the kometamu the Uber, the chayah, and still you see the Uber is metama the chayah. No, it's a kasha and rabba. If rabba holds a tuma balu zain metama, why is the midwife tummy when she touches the Uber? The Uber is Balua. It's Balua inside the mother. So the Gemara understands that it should be a textbook example of Balua. What's Balua? You swallowed a tabas. You ate the nevela. You're digesting the food. An Uber is Balua inside her mother or his mother. As a result, the Uber is also Balua. And still you see that the midwife becomes tummy. Now, Bishloima, if Rabba was wrong, and although there's a Mishnah that says a halacha, that if somebody swallows a tabas that's tameh, he doesn't become tameh. But the reason that halacha is true is because it's considered maga beis hastarim. Our Mishnah wouldn't be shver, because our Mishnah is not maga beis hastarim. In our Mishnah, the chaya literally stuck her hand inside the mother. So as a result, it's a regular maga. It's not beis hastarim. If it's not beis hastarim, that's why she's tameh. But now that Rabbi said a chiddush in the Mishnah, misachtes mikvayis, that the reason in the Mishnah there's no tumah is not because of maga. It's not a chesaron in the negiyah. It's a much more fundamental problem.
It's because the tum itself on its balua doesn't have an ability to be matama. If that's the case, va uber v'chaya dikshtei kabayis tama v'kam matama uber v'chaya. On my rabbis, the rabbis said, "Shani uber hayvatzar falatzis." I don't look at an uber as being balua, because the uber eventually is going to leave the mother's rechem, and being that eventually it's going to leave the mother's rechem, so it's for that reason I don't consider that balua. So it's not a tzushtel to the halach of tuma balua. It's not considerable. Afraid to gemara, my rov, uber seifel losses, tabas and seifel losses. What, the tabas is going to be there forever? Tabas eventually is also going to leave the body of the person. Elam my rov, so rov said, pumpedisoy yadi time b'dam milsa. I heard from pumpedisoy umanoi, who's pumpedisoy, also known as Rav Yosef. Dom Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, and the name Rav Yehuda, pshat in the Mishnah, who said in the name of Tumah Zu Ein Medivei Toyel Medivei Seif. The Pshat in the Mishnah has nothing to do with real Tumah V'Tahira on a biblical level, but rather everything going on in the Mishnah is on a rabbinic level. It's all Medivei Seif. Says the Gemara, "My Ein Medivei Toyel El Medivei Seif." What does he mean? That's pretty wordy. Ein Medivei Toyel El Medivei Seif. Deloitei Mali B'Rabbi Yakiba Da'omer Umevimei Isha Tame. Don't say Rav Yosef said in the name, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. The Pshat of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that an uber b'mei ishas tamei. We'll see what that means in a minute. El afilu Rabbi Shmuel da omer b'mei isha tar. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel that says uber b'mei isha tar, gazru batumah midrabanan. Again, who's this Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? The Gemara is going to ask the Kasha, and by the time we're up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, we'll know who Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are. But for now, what we need, the punchline that Rava said just to explain the Mishnah and to answer the Kasha on Rabba, is that the reason in our Mishnah the Uber that's dead is Metama, the midwife, is not Tumah Dairaisa. Tumah Dairaisa, it's Tumah Balua. Tumah Balua doesn't have an ability to be Metama. The reason that the midwife is going to be Tame, Eina Midivrei Torah, Ela Midivrei Soifim. It's a new Tumah Darabon. My time, and what's this Tumah Darabon? I'm Rav Hoshio, Gzeri Shem Yoitzi Vlad Roshay Chutzla Proizdar. Because we're worried that maybe the Uber is going to stick its hand outside of the Proizdar. Once it sticks its hand outside of the Proizdar, it's considered born. At that point, it's not Balua anymore. If it's not Balua, if it would touch the midwife at that moment, the midwife would be Tame. So, Enochanami, really, Midairaisa, there should be no Tumah, because it's Tumah Balua. And if it's Tumah Balua, then the Uber doesn't have an ability to be Matama the midwife. But that's all true if it's Balua. What happens if it sticks its head out and then it touches the midwife? Oh, now the midwife is already Tumah. So, we're splitting gears here. That if it's 100% inside the Rechem, then it doesn't have an ability to be Matama. If it sticks its hand outside of the Rechem, then it does have an ability to be Matama. Sounds like a perfect place for the Chachamim to make a Gzeirah. And the Chachamim said that even though if it's inside, you're right, there's a whole sugya mikvois, rabba, rava, tabaz, tomas meis, cherev, areu, kecholo, of tuma balua, I hear. But at the same time, midrabbanan, it's going to be also. So that's the teretz. The teretz, this is only midrabbanan. But the Gemara asks Akasha, ihachi, if this is the case, meaning the reason in our Mishnah the midwife is tame, is because of a tuma derabbanan, isha nami. Why is the isha tame? Right, the Mishnah said, isha shemeis vlada b'toich meyer. And now the midwife stuck her hand inside the rechem, the midwife is tame. The woman is tahar. What's the difference between the midwife and the woman? So Pasha, you would think, based on Rabba, that for the midwife, or there's a real maga, it's not beis hastarim. For the mother, it's a beis hastarim. But now that you're telling me that it's all based on gzeiras, then l'chair, there should be no difference between the midwife and the mother. Because just like you're making a gzeira for the midwife, you should make a gzeira for the mother as well. Apparently, when the mother's carrying the dead child, that doesn't make her tameh. But the moment it's born, she would become tameh. So if we're worried about differentiating between when the uber is inside the mother and outside the mother as it relates to the midwife, then l'chur, the same should be true as it relates to the mother as well. So the Gemara says, Isha margeshes ba'atzma. A woman knows the difference between when it's inside of her and outside of her. We don't have to make the gzera. Says the Gemara, v'teimel olachaya. So if the woman's margeshes, why can't she tell the midwife, oh, 1 second, the baby's coming out, and as a result, you know, be careful. Meaning the same protection that you have for herself, why don't you have for the chaya? So the Gemara says, Trida. She says she's just too busy being in pain, and as a result, right, that's literally what Trida means, but you know, she's a suka here, she says, b'chavleha. She's busy with her labor, and as a result, it's not going to happen. Therefore, for the midwife who doesn't have the sensation of, is the baby inside or outside, then we had to make the gzera. As it relates to the mother, we did not have to make the gzera. So again, according to Rabba, the Tumah Balua is not Matama. Technically, the Uber should have no ability to be Matama. Not the mother, it shouldn't have an ability to be Matama, the midwife either. In the Mishnah, you see the midwife does become Tame. It's not Tumah Dei Raisa. All it is Tumah Midrabbanan. But when the Gemara brought this, The Gemara said that Rava said, I heard from Pumpadusai, who is Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, who said that Pshad in the Mishnah is Tumad Rabban. But he added a line. He said, Loi tema libid Rabbi Akiva. Don't think the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, in which case the Mishnah would be telling me Tumadei Raisa. Rather, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yishmael, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, and the Mishnah means Tumad Rabban. So it says the Gemara, my Rabbi Yishmael and my Rabbi Akiva. Who is this Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva? The time we learned to the Brayis, B'chalash, Yigal Plei Asada. So the Gemara is going to bring several psukim now. In the beginning of Parashas Chukas, the psukim that talk about Tumas Meis, Adam Kiyamus Ba'oil, psukim that talk about Parah Aduma. And the Gemara is going to bring drushes. When it says Tumas Meis is anyone that comes in contact with a mace that was al pnei hasada, it was on the open field. We learn from there. Lahitzi ober b'meisha. Ober b'meisha is the opposite of being in an open, exposed area. It's not al pnei hasada, and as a result, if somebody touches an ober b'meisha, he's not tummy. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva. Imer Rabbi Akiva says l'rabois goylo v'doifek that no v'chol hashiga al pnei hasada is not coming to be mema'it an ober b'meisha, but rather it's coming to be marba. What's it coming to be marba? The goyl and the doifek. The goyl is the top of the coffin. The doifek are the walls of the coffin, that they too have their own halacha of Tumas Meis. Says the Gemara, Bishmol, Goyle V'Doifik. How does Rabbi Shmuel know the halacha of Goyle V'Doifik? Hilchazik Mirullah, he knows it from Malach L'Mesh Messina. He doesn't need this pasuk for that. Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't use V'chol HaShe Yigal Pnei Asada L'Hoitzi Ubi B'Mei Yisha. Obviously, he must have known from somewhere else that Ubi B'Mei Yisha is Tamei. Because otherwise, how did he know that the pasuk is coming the Rabbi's Goyle V'Doifik? Maybe it's coming, like Rabbi Yishmael suggested, Lahitzi Ubi B'Meisha. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Ubi B'Meisha Tami B'Deraisa Minole. He must have known it from somewhere. It seems like he had an objective source that an Ubi B'Meisha is Tame, and that's why he's learning the Cholash Yigal Pnei Asada, the Rabbi's Girl of the Day. So the Gemara says he did have a source. Amrav Oishi Amakra. It says Amigeh B'Meis B'Nefesh in that same parsha. And Rabbi Akiva learned as follows: Ezehu meis shebe nefesh al adam havi oimer ze uber shebe meisha. So the pasuk says kol hanegeya b'meis b'nefesh al adam. So we've had a few drushes like this already this week. Kol hanegeya b'meis. Someone touches a meis, that's b'nefesh al adam, not kama. Kol hanegeya b'meis, which is b'nefesh al adam. What does it mean? A meis that's inside a nefesh adam. Oh, it must be an Uber. And the pasuk says Tame, right? So says Rabbi Akiva, I'm a mufurish pasuk that an Uber Meisha is going to be Tame. Rabbi Shmuel, what is Rabbi Shmuel dash in that pasuk? He learns from V'chol HaShe Yigal Pnei Asada L'Hoitzi Uber B'Meisha. Rabbi Akiva seems to have a nice drasha. Hanigeya B'Meis, which is B'Nefesh Adam. Hami Boyle, the Revi'is Tame of Amadam. He's coming to teach me a different halacha that the Revi'is Tame of a Meis is Metama like the Meis itself. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hanigeya B'Meis B'Nefesh Adam. And the way Rabbi Shmuel dash in it was Ezo Nefesh Adam Shemetama. What's an example of a nefesh adam that's not the adam itself, but it's the nefesh of the adam that has an ability to be metam? So hanegeya b'meis b'nefesh, teaching me something, not a meis that's in a nefesh, but that the nefesh, if you have a sheer chashuv of the nefesh of a person, which is considered the dam of a person, the halach is, you're going to be Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva dash in the pasuk that way? L'tamei. This is Rabbi Akiva l'shitasei, an often quoted Rabbi Akiva, because it comes up, this Rabbi Akiva does, not only when you're learning the halachas of Tumas Meis and Aholois and the end of Nazir, but every time the Gemara brings the shaila of Yesh Eim LeMikra and Yesh Eim LeMesiris, so there's a whole bunch of Mar Mekoymes that the Gemara always brings. This is one of them. Rabbi Akiva says, Afrofiyas Nam Haba Mishnei Mason Metama ba'oil, that a revius tam of a mace is metama, but doesn't have to be from one mace. Even if it comes from two mace, it's metama. The time Rabbi Kiva, oh, I'm not a revius tam of a mace and shem metama ba'oil. How do you know that if you have a revius tam combined from two mace? So one mace contributed a half a revius, another mace contributed a half a revius, for example. And now together you have the revius. How do you know it's tamei tumas oil? Shenemar v'al kol nafshois mace lo yavoi nafshois lashin rabim shtei nefashois v'shir echad. So mace is a lashin yachid, nafshois is a lashin rabim. And we learn from there that two nefashois together k'chtautzu one shir revius. The point is, being the Rabbi Akiva holds that the revius doesn't have to come from one mace, it can come from two mason, the way he darshin v'al kol nafshois mace lo yavoi, he can't darshan the pasuk of hanoigeya b'meis b'nefesh that it's referring to Revius. Because that pasuk is written Beloshin Yochid. It doesn't say Nafshois, called Nafshois Meis. It says Hanogei B'meis B'nefesh. And if Rabbi Akiva darshan that pasuk referring to Revius, Dam, Rabbi Akiva would have a stira. I would have one pasuk that says the Revius has to be from a Meis B'nefesh Yochid. I have another pasuk that says Vakol Nafshois Meis Layav Eloshin Rabbi. It's a stira. So it forced Rabbi Akiva to darshan the pasuk of Hanogei B'meis B'nefesh differently. How did he darshan the pasuk? He darshan the pasuk not referring to a Revius Dam, that he knows from another pasuk. And there he even knows a bigger chiddush that the Revius Dam can come from two mason combined. Rather, what the pasuk is coming to teach me is that if you have a mace, b'nefesh, an uber, b'me'imai, the halacha is going to be, the bottom line is we have a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, specifically with regards to an uber that died, rachmana litzlan, in the womb of its mother. Is it now tomei tumas mace that it should trigger the beginning of Parshas Chukas? Or is it not Tomei Tumas Meis? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Tomei Tumas Meis. He learns it from the pasuk Hanegei B'meis B'nefesh, Ezeu Meisha B'nefesh Shel Adam, Hevi Omer Zeu Ubeshev Meim. And the halacha is that it is Metam. Rabbi Shmuel holds it's not Metam. He learns it from a pasuk as well. V'chola sheyigal p'nei asada lahoitzi uber b'meisha. Meaning, we have a shayla, that's the sugya, rava, the Mishnah Mikvayis. That's a more general shayla. That's a shayla that's koil of all halachas of Tumah v'Tahira. Tumah balua, Tahira balua, magas beis astarim. These are very fundamental core sugyas as it relates to Tumah v'Tahira. But we also have a very local, a very specific machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva as it relates to an Uber, and it's based on Psukim in the beginning of Parashas Chukas. When Pumpedisai, in other words, Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav Yud, the name of Shmuel, said that the Mishnah is not referring to Tumah Deiraisa, but can also mean, meaning not necessarily Tumah Deiraisa, it can also mean Tumah Derabanan, and he wasn't referring to Rabin Rav in the Mishnah Mikvayis. He was alluding to this Machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, where we have a Machloikis if an Uber has an ability to be Metamo. So at first glance, said Pumpedisai, you read the Mishnah in Chulanayin Aleph Amid Aleph, and you see that a midwife who touches a dead uber while it's in the rechem of the mother is going to be tameh. So it sounds like, oh, Rabbi Akiva. So that's he said, no. Loitem Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, of course, the Mishnah could be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva stimta. Stam Mishnah usually is alibid Rabbi Akiva. But it doesn't have to be Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah could even be Rabbi Shmuel. How could it be Rabbi Shmuel? Isn't that the grace of Shitas Rabbi Shmuel in the way he darshaned all the psukim in the beginning of Parashas Chukas who held that an uber doesn't have an ability to be metama because it says v'chol hashiyiga al pnei asad lahoitzi uber meyisha? Yeah, that's true on a biblical level. Mishnah doesn't mean tumah deraisa. The Mishnah only means tumah derabanan. Kuntzegei Rava, and Rava said that once I heard from Pumpedisai that the Mishnah can mean tumah derabanan. So he said, Rava, the Mishnah's not a kash on you either. Because even though Rava had a much more fundamental problem with the Mishnah, Rava holds Tumah Balua is never Metama. But just like we explained the Mishnah, Alibi the Rabbi Yishmael, who said that an Uber doesn't have an ability to be Metama, stating that the Mishnah is referring to a Tumah Rabbanan, so too, as it relates to the more general issue, Alibi the Rabba of Tumah Balua, it's not a problem. Because at the end of the day, all the Mishnah means is to be the very soifrin, it's lav dafka Tumah Deiraisa, could be Deiraisa, you're right, doesn't have an ability to be Metama. Stating that, Midrabanon, it will be Tommy. Talk to Mishnah Vaita. Behema hamikasha leled. A behema. It's not getting easier. That is in labor. Chev leled. Vahoitzi uber es yadoi. And then it stuck its hand out. Vichatcha. And the shoichet shechted the hand of the uber. So what's the halacha of that hand right now? Save him in a chai. It's easy. Save him in a chai. If you shecht, or you remove, you cut, you sever one aver of a live animal, the halacha save him in a chay. At this point, the animal was alive. I mean, it's mekasha leled. It's having a rough day, but it's alive. So behema mekasha leled, v'hoitzi uberes yadoi, v'chotcha, v'achak achshochet asimoi. And afterwards, you shechted the mother. So the halacha is habasar tahar. The basar is tahar. The aver is Aser, obviously, it's Eve Menachai, but everything else is going to be okay. But the Chiddush is that not only is the rest of the animal Mutter, Ba'achila, but it's also Tahar, as opposed to being Tameh. And that's because we know that Nevela impacts an animal in two ways. Number one, it makes it Aser Ba'achila. Number two, it also makes it Tameh. Tumas Nevela is one of the Tumas that the Torah talks about. So Nevela comes up when you're learning Yerideya, because it's an Isav HaHeter. Nevela is Aser Bachila. Nevela also comes up when you're learning Tumah V'Tahira, because Nevela is also Tameh. Stating that, the mother is
and the uber that remained inside the womb, being that it had a kasher shechita, is not going to be tameh. It's only the aver, which is going to be aser, and that's going to be a problem. Staying that, the Mishnah is saying a chiddush. And the reason the Mishnah is saying a chiddush is because being that the mother came in contact with the aver, well, that's the assumption anyways, so why don't you say that the aver, which was cut, which is aver menachai, is now metama the mother. Eva ben Achai is tameh just like Nevela is tameh. So why don't we say it's matama the mother? So Rashi says the reason is she'ein behema mekabel is tumah michaim. You don't have to worry about that. It's not nogeya. It's na. It's not an issue because it could touch it from today till tomorrow. A live animal doesn't have an ability to become tameh. A live human being could become tameh. Obviously, tumah v'tayra is dealing with humans for the most part. But as it relates to live animals, they can never become tameh. Thus, this is not going to be a problem. What happens if shechted the zimah v'akachat? What if first you shechted the mother and afterwards you cut that limb? So you shechted the mother while there was one hand that was outside of the mother. So number one, we know that that hand is also bachilah. That's the first mission. Shailas, if it's chzira, there it's machlekes, rav and rabbi yechem. But if it was outside at the time of the shechita, everybody agrees that's pashit, that lach is it's going to be also bachilah. So now, this one aver, which is aser b'achila, is in contact with the mother. So the halacha is, habasa magen avela. The rest of the animal now is going to be magen avela. And the reason is because once you shecht the mother, if it's still touching this aver, that's aser b'achila, so then the aver, being that it didn't become muta b'achila, was an avela. If it's an avela, it's also tameh. The animal, once you shecht it, the mother that is tameh. So if you shecht the mother, so now you have to be worried about Tumas Nevela, because the mother came in contact with that one Aver that had Tumas Nevela. The Chachamim say Magna Treyfe Shchut. No, it's true that that one Aver is Aser Bachila. But even though it's Aser Bachila, it doesn't have an ability to give off Tumas Nevela. If it's Aser, doesn't that by definition mean this Tumas Nevela? No, just like by Treyfe. A Treyfe that had a Shchita doesn't have Tumas Nevela. Right, what's the primary difference between Nevela and Treyfa? Nevela also has Tumma. We spoke about this many times. Treyfa doesn't have Tumma. We'll see with Rabbanan, maybe there's Tumma. But Midei Raisa, there's no Tumma. Sabina Midei Raisa, there's no Tumma if you shecht a Treyfa. As long as it's a Kasha Shechita, you can have one of the Yudchas Treyfas. So it doesn't matter. The Halacha is not going to be Tumma Midei Raisa. So say the Chachamim that it's true this one Aver that was outside of the mother never became Mutter Al Yidei the Shechita. But at the same time, I don't look at it as a Shtik Nevela. L'may nafkemina, it doesn't have an ability to be matama. Are you going to tell me if it's an aser b'achila, doesn't that by definition mean it's an avela? No, there's precedence for that. The precedence for that is going to be the treifa. In other words, ma motzinu b'treifa sheshchitas mitarasa av shchitas behemet etarasa ever. It's a ma motzinu. You find it by treifa, so maybe it's going to be the same over here. Amar Rav Meir. So Rav Meir, who argued, Rav Meir said, no, if this aver is aser b'achila, I look at it as nevela. I don't look at it as treifa. He said, how are you comparing the aver to treifa? Loyim tiaros shchitas treifa oisa. Dovashagufa. I understand a treifa, when you shecht a treifa, being that you're shechting the animal itself, so I understand why the shechita, even though it's not going to be matter, the treifa b'achila, because at the end of the day it's a treifa, but at the same time I understand why it's metired from Tumas Nevela. But tetaires or ever dovashaina gufa? But this is already a little bit different. This is different because this is the aver of the uber. And being that it's the aver of the uber, maybe the shechit of the mother doesn't have an ability to be metaher, an aver of an uber, which is a guf achar, to say that it shouldn't have Tumas Nevela. So it's not a perfect tushta, Ramey told the Chachamim. I understand you find precedence for the idea of shechting a dover aser and at the very least removing the Tumas Nevela. But that's when it's the same guf. Being that over here we're dealing with the aver of an uber, which is a different goof, maybe over here it's going to be different. Either way, one thing you see from the Mishnah, you see that if you shecht the treifa, even though it doesn't make the treifa mutar b'achila, possibly the treifa lo yisachelo, but at the very least, it's metaira from Tumas Nevela. Says the Gemara, I mean, the treifa shechitas metaira also. Why do you know that a treifa is tahar? Meaning, how do you know that when you shecht the treifa, the shechita works at the very least? And if anything, the Gemara says, I can argue, behemet me asur b'achila. A non-kosher animal is asur b'achila. Av treifa asur b'achila. Treifa, although it's a kosher animal, it's also asur b'achila. Ma behemet me in shechitas metaira also, just like behemet me. Shechita doesn't work to be metairet from Tumas Nevela. Av treifa lo tetareno. So too, the same should be true for treifa. Right? Somebody shecht a chazer, so it's still going to be Tommy Tumas Nevela. Shechita doesn't work. So why does the shechita work for a treifa? So the Gemara says, no, lo yim amrit.
is different because it never was kosher. A treifa wasn't born a treifa. Since it had a shas hakosher, you always find the svar in shas. Shas hakosher is always a good thing. It's a maila. So being that it had a shas hakosher, so even though right now it's us, it's not like a behemoth tmeya. And that's why the shechita is going to work at the very least. We retire from Tumas Devela. But the Gemara says, Tulacha masha hevesa, take back what you brought. That's an expression. Harishan, all the treifa min abeta. What if the baby was born a treifa? Minayin. So what would be the halacha? Are you going to tell me it's different? So he said, no, it's still different. Because lo yimam behemet tmei, she can't even be mina shechita. By behemet tmei, it's never possible. That entire species is excluded from the halachas of shechita. Toim have a treifa, sheish be mina shechita, a different svara, right? But at the end of the day, treifa, right? This animal happens to be a treifa. But most animals are not treifas, right? We know there's a roiv behemoths that are sheiris, that are not treifas. So you have the majority of that aren't treifas, a yesh b'mina shechita. That's why, even for this one, where the shechita doesn't work to be matrit b'achila, but at the very least, the shechita is going to work to be matai. Says the Mishnah, one final halacha, ben shmoina chai, ein shechitasi mitaras. Very big chiddush. If an animal gives birth to a baby, that's a ben shmoina, it was born in the proverbial eighth month, meaning it was born premature, the understanding and the assumption is that this baby, animal, will not be able to live. As a result, it's viewed when it's born as an avela. So even if it's a kosher animal, and you now do a shechita, ein shechitasoi mitarosoi, l'fisha ein b'minoi shechita, because there's no such thing as this premature animal being able to live. Thus, we look at it as an avela as soon as it's born. And even if you do a proper shechita afterwards, the shechita is not going to work. You can see from the Mishnah, the kind of dafin that that we have ahead of us over the next few days. But either way, exhale. So just to go back to some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday. So we've been learning sugyas that deal with a behema hamekashaleled and an isha that has an uber, me'inyin le'inyin, ba'isa inyin, shaloi ba'isa inyin, different sugyas related to an obra. So we digressed yesterday and we spoke a little bit about abortion in halacha. Meaning, is it okay for a woman to kill a fetus that she is carrying? So we said that at first glance, as the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, that Mem Dalar Ben Aleph, the Mishnah over there talks about different halachas that go into effect as soon as a child is born. Tinik ben yoy mechad is metame beziva, it's neichel, it's manchel, halachas of Yevamis. One of the things the Mishnah says is, vahar goy chayev, that if somebody kills this tinik, he's going to be chayev misa. It sounds like from the Mishnah that only once the tinik is a ben yoy mechad is there halacha that is a chayev misa if somebody kills the tinik. But up until the point that this child is born, there is no chayev misa. Stating that, there's Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Nezayin, where the Gemara was discussing the halachas of Bnei Noach. We know Bnei Noach doesn't have tayog mitzvahs, he has sheva mitzvahs. One of the sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach is shvichas damim. And the Gemara over there brings a braisa, it was found in Sifra de Beirav, where the braisa said different halachas with regards to dinei shvichas damim as it pertains to a Bnei Noach. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru said this braisa, that they're neherogin afal ubar. That if a ben noach would kill a fetus, he would kill an uber. The halach is he would be nerag shvichas domim because he violated one of the sheva mitzvahs ben noach. So on the one hand, says Tosfos, having Mishnah Masechtas Nida Daf Mem Aleph, that sounds like only a tinik ben yoy mechad ahorge chayv. And here I have a Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis that says even a ben noach is chayv misa for killing an uber. So says Tosfos, at first glance I would say loikasha. The Mishnah Masechtas Nida is talking to Yidden, and the Braisa in Masechtas Sanhedrin is talking to Bnei Noach. The problem is, if that's the case, it comes out that a Bnei Noach is more chamer than a Yid. And we know the Gemara says, Bekula Talmuda, Chulin Lamed Gimel, Sanhedrin in the Sugis of Bnei Noach, Mi Ikam Midi Dili Yisrael, Shari Ulovi Kechab Masr. It's not possible that a Yid should be more chamer than a Yid should be more cooler than a guy. So if that's the case, if a guy is chayiv for killing a Noach, how could a Yid not be chayiv? Says Tosfos, you have to say that it's true. Really, a Yid is not going to be chayiv for killing an Uber. It's a Mefurish Gemara. But at the same time, says Tosfos, one line, Mikol Makoim, however, Nehida Potter, Loishari. It's true.
it's true, you're potter. And that's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida. That's only Tinuk Ben Yom Echad, a harger is going to be chayv. But as it relates to being mutter or aser, that's pashat it's going to be aser. Why is it going to be aser? Because me a kamidi, and if you find that by a ben noyach it's aser, it means that by definition, it has to be an aser as well. Now the truth is, it's a very detailed and lengthy discussion in the Paiskim, how exactly to walk away from Tosfos. Because all Tosfos said is, and it's very, very subtle language, the Yisrael Enoi Nehra, Nehi Depater, Mikomakam Loishari. What does Loishari mean? What does Loishari mean? It's Asamidei Raisa? Is it Shvichas Damim? Is it Yaharug of Ayavar? Is it at the very least Abizrayu de Shvichas Damim? Does it fall into one of the Ten Commandments? Is it considered Loisirtsach? Like, how do you view this mikamakam loishari? And the truth is, it's a discussion of Paiskim. Some Paiskim say Taisis means yeah. He means it's abizrayu deshvichas damim, and enoi nerak just means the bezdin can't kill the person, but there's going to be a chiv misa b'di shamay. If you want a nice marmakam, take a look in the Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. But either way, that m'di shamayim, yeah, could be the person's even chayv misa b'di shamayim. There's opinions that are in the complete opposite of the spectrum who hold that Taisis just means loishari. Meaning it's not mutter, it's asamid rabbanon. Taisus held it was asamid ayraisa, you would have said it's asamid ayraisa. There are others that argue even a bigger chiddush, and that is that the Rambam clearly did not hold of this svar of miyak amidi. I'm sorry, from different places is Meirich, that the Rambam didn't hold of miyak amidi. And some want to say that according to the Rambam, who doesn't even hold of miyak amidi, could be there won't even be an isser. But the point is, Taisus leaves us saying clearly it's asur to kill an ober, but at the same time, Taisus' lashon is A, unclear, and B, very, very soft. Tosfos says, Nehida Potter, Mikom Maka, doesn't even say Aser. Loishari. It's not Mutter. And this is important, Tosfos' language, because it plays itself out in some of the Halacha L'Maisa Shailas, where sometimes Rabbanim actually have to sit down and opine whether it's okay, Halacha L'Maisa, to do an abortion. Either way, yesterday we spoke out a tshuva from the Chavis Yar, a tshuva from Yaakov Emden and Shelas Yaivitz, and then a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein in Chayesh Mishpat. The specific shiloh that the Chavis Yor was asked was with regards to an Eishes Ish that was Mazana, and then she found out that she was pregnant, and she wanted to abort the child. And the question was, is it okay to abort the child or not? Chavis Yor said, I don't know what the fact that she was an Eishes Ish that was Mazana has to do with anything. I mean, to me, all it can mean is the child's going to be a mamzer. A mamzer is Ki Yisrael L'chal Davar. In fact, the Gemara says in the end of Masech Tishori is that mamzer Talmud Chacham is Koydim L'Kayin Gadol HaMaretz. So if you're asking me, a mamzer could be very, very chashuv. So why should it make any difference? So the Chavis Yor said, I'm looking at the shiloh as if it was the shiloh that was presented to me, is it okay to abort the child? He wrote a tshuva and said, absolutely, positively no. Yaakov Emden in the tshuva said that shelas chacham is chatzi tshuva. He says, no, I think that when the shoyl asked about an eishes that was mezanes, he was coming from a very specific angle. And the shelas yaivitz went ahead and wrote an unbelievable tshuva where he said that, of course, the Chavis Yor is right. It's not okay to just go ahead and to abort the child. However, in a case where an eishes was mezana, there's a svara maybe why it should be okay. Not maybe. Rabbi Yaakov Emden paskin that it's okay. And that is because Eishes Ish, that was mezana b'zman shemeis mikdash hayikayim, was chayv mises bezdin. And if she was carrying a child, they would have killed her together with the child. So you see from there that this mother and the child are gavras ketolas. If they are chayv mises bezdin, they have a din of a gavra ketola, then there's no issa to kill them. They can kill themselves. It's karav l'schar, maybe even a mitzvah, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, for them to kill themselves. But the bottom line is, it's not shvichas damim. So he says, if it's not shvichas damim, maybe b'kahai gavna, where the uber is the god of ketol, because she's part of the mother, who's chayv mises bezdin, b'zman shebezdin she would have been killed. Maybe in this case, it's going to be fine. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I agree with the truth of the Chavis Yor, that it's not okay, primarily based on a Tosfos and Chul and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, albeit soft language. But it's a Tosfos. At the end of the day, no one's going to argue with a Tosfos. But as it relates to this particular Shaila, I think there's a Svara, there's a nuance to be matter. We said that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva brought the Chavis Yor, and then he brought Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he said that even though Rabbi Yaakov Emden was from the Gedoyli Olam, Ein Lahashkiach Al Tshuva Zu Klal, you can't look at this Tshuva. And then Rabbi Moshe, again, we said yesterday that it's a Sharfa Tshuva. Sharf on Ramosha standards. Ramosha's tshuvas are so soft, so it's a little sharper than a typical Ramosha tshuva. But either way, Ramosha said that the reason he's speaking sharply and dramatically is because of what recently has been going on in democratic countries, referring, of course, to the Supreme Court decision in 1973, Roe versus Wade, where they legalized abortion in the United States of America. And Ramosha felt it's a pirtza gedayla, because every abortion is shvichas damim. And I don't, the fact that there's a tshuva like this from Yaakov Emden is, you know, creates a little bit of a slippery slope. and a kalos in this whole area of halacha, and I have to stop it. And as a result, Rav Moshe said, I'm saying what I'm saying, ein lashkiach al tshuva zu klal, and we have to stop it. Stating that, there's a lot more to this tshuva. And really, the second part of this begins, I think, with a tshuva in the Shailos of Tshuva's Rav Pa'alim, which was written by the Ben Ishchai. So the Ben Ishchai wrote a Shailos of Tshuva's, he has a few Shailos of Tshuva's for him. One of them is called Rav Pa'alim. This is in Chelek Dalet, it's in Evan Ezer, Sheila Dalet. And the Shaila that was presented to the Ben Ishchai is the same exact Shaila that was presented to the Chavis Yar, and it's the same exact Shaila that Rabbi Yaakov Emden discussed in his tshuva in Shailos Yaivetz, Eishas Ishe Zinsa Venes Abra Biznos, Emuteres Lishtois Dover Shetapolo Uber Achashak Farhukra Venigmar Bebitna, Sheishle Chamisha Chadasha Bebitna. So there was a woman, she was 5 months pregnant, she was carrying a child, but Rachmana Litzlan, the child was a mamzer, because she was an Eishas Ish, that was Mezana. And the question that was asked to the Ben Ishchai, Baghdad, was, is it okay for this woman to abort the child, or was it not okay to abort the child? Yoreinu Mayreinu. Tshuva. B'dover azeh, says the Ben Ishchai, any roitzer l'hashav b'derech hayra. Loi le'isav loi l'hater. He says, I'm not going to tell you it's aser, I'm not going to tell you it's muter. Rak a'atik lochem mashe matzasi b'tshuva yisu achreinim shedibur b'zeh. All I'm going to do is I'm going to present to you what the Kadmonim already spoke about. And there's three paragraphs in the tshuva. The first paragraph, he says, v'huki agoyin chavis yorzal, b'simil lamed alf nishol keyotze b'zeh mamash. And the chavis yor came out, that it's aser. The second paragraph. V'ro yisi la goyin Rabbi Yaakov Emden zatzal. B'sheilus yaivitz chelek alf simim mem gimel. Shinishal, he was asked the same exact question. And he came out that it was mutter. So immediately says the Ben Ishchai, I'm not going to opine, but I'll present the facts to you. Number one, there's a chavis yor that said it's aser. Okay, so there's a tzad lesser. There's a sheilus yaivitz that said it's mutter. There's a tzad to be mater. And then he adds a third paragraph. And this is very, very important. He says, "Void son no einechu rei mashakasa maritzal chelak galav simin tzadik tes beisha yisraelis." There was a isha yisraelis mutalis asik ima berefuois kadesh tapel im yesh bezal letzorichin. He says the marit who was a kadmon, one of the early achroinim. He said he wrote a tshuva where he discussed a woman who had a tzorich. A tzorich. There was no pekuach nefesh. There was no roidev, like the Rambam we spoke at yesterday. But there was just a tzorich for her to abort the child. And the Marit wrote a whole tshuva discussing whether it's okay or whether it's not okay. He says he wrote this in Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadik Tes. V'ayim mashakosav oid besimen tzadik zayin. Either way, nimtzu besimen tzadik tes matel lehedi letzorichin. And he says in Simen Tzadik Tes, I think he said it's mutter v'nira. So based on that, diyesh pischoim pele baldin loimer. Then in this case, if this ish is going to give birth to this child, it's not her husband's child, the child's going to be a mamzer, there's going to be a tremendous embarrassment for the family. Could be choshev zeh tzorich gadol. I think that maybe is a tzorich gadol. So in addition to having Rabbi Yaakov Emden that you can maybe rely on to be materit, that was Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, gavra katala, but at the same time there's another sniff lehater, and that is the marit, where the marit said that if there's a tzorich gadol for the mother, you could abort a child. Phenomenal chiddush, says the Ben Ishchai. I think this is a tzorich gadol. Why? Again, nira, quote, the eish pischein pele baldin loymar hechad ikab ka mishpacha u bezoyoin vichel Hashem im yishara uber v'leit hapaloysoi choshev zeh tzorich gadol. Either way, it's a short tshuva. He says, v'kvar amarti, bottom line, he writes, she'en ani moysev v'shalib edavazeh, I'm not telling you anything on my own, ve'eni megaladaiti. I'm not going to tell you. I mean, he had an opinion. But he said, ve'eni megaladaiti, v'rak hitzati lefnei ha'shoi ladvor meniskel l'il, v'yira divrei elu leiz ha'chacham, show my mara mekoymes to a chacham, v'hu yoyre le ma'lasleis. And I'd rather somebody else tell you what to do. V'Hashem yisbarach b'racham av yore inenu ba'er teirase, amen kein nihirotze. That's the tshuva. So, the Ben Ishchai was presented with the same exact shaila that the Chavis Yor Yaakov Emden was, and he didn't want to write a tshuva. He said, what I'll do is I'll present facts to you. On the one hand, there's a Chavis Yor and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we know that machloikis. So the Chavis Yor was machmer, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was mekel, but I could be mitzvah of another svar lahogel, said the Ben Ishchai. And that is the Marit. Where the Marit said, you could be matter, killing the Uber. This is a tzorich, there's a pekam mishpacha, there's a bezoyoin, there's a chil Hashem, there's tzorich over here. I mean that the tzorich over here, I think these would be svaris to be matter as well. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rab Yehuda Eliezer Waldenberg, wrote three tshuvas about abortion. The first tshuva that he wrote is a chelik tes. The second tshuva that he wrote is in Chelik Yud Gimel. It's Simin Kuf Beis. The third tshuva that he wrote is in Chelik Yud Dalet. It's Simin Kuf Alef. I think it's kedai to go through the tshuva that he wrote in Chelik Yud Gimel and the tshuva that he wrote in Chelik Yud Dalet. Both of those tshuvas were written to Professor Dr. Meyer, who was the Menal HaKloli of the Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. Either way, Rav Waldenberg, in addition to being one of the Gedolei HaPoske, right, everyone knows the Shalos HaTshuvos, Tzitz Eliezer, but he was also considered an expert in medicine, in Yoni Refua, medical ethics, and a lot of the protocols that are followed in the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael followed the guidance of Rav Waldenberg, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. So either way, this Dr. Meyer was asking Rav Waldenberg shailos about abortion and halacha and exactly how to deal with, you know, different questions that come up in the hospital. The shailah that he wrote on in Chelik Yud Gimel was with regards to a woman who was told that she's carrying a baby that has Tay-Sachs disease. Now, we do Dar Yisharim to try to prevent Tay-Sachs, but, you know, this was a child that's carrying, that had, Rachmana Litzlan, the Tay-Sachs disease. And he goes on to describe in detail the symptoms of Tay-Sachs. And the metzias is that the child that's born can't live past the age of 4 or 5. The child is going to live with tremendous yesurim. And the shaila that was asked was, is it okay to abort this child, or is it not okay to abort this child? So Rav Waldenberg, in the beginning of the tshuva, gives you the end of the tshuva, so we'll do the same thing. Lameis Rav Waldenberg comes down and he says it's mutter. He said not only is it mutter, he said it's mutter up until the 7th month. So up until the 7th month of pregnancy, it would still be okay to abort this child. So what's the pshat? What's the svara? I mean, there's no risk to the mother. There's no issue of roidif over here. You don't have Rav Yaakov Emden svara of being mezana. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm going to base this on the tshuva of the Ben Ishchai, who based his svara on a tshuva of the Marit, which says that if there's a tzorech gadol to go ahead and do an abortion, it's something that's going to be okay. Says Rav Waldenberg. But first, we need to clarify a few things. Barer u'poshet adover balocha. The Yisrael einen ergal u'bar. That a yid is not chayiv misa for killing an uber. U'bilvad deyo yichid is soiver ma poiskim. She isra miyo yesh. Most poiskim hold. Is a das yochin not the way, but most poiskim hold is an isra. Avol das harbe mea poiskim. She isra eni elam idrabana. Oy, shu rak mishum geder. It's only a geder. Mishum din yone shaloylam. Avol machmas ibu nefasha is ein nidud klal. According to many poiskim. And he said it's for that reason that the marit was matal shum tzarech gadol. Because if he held it was real shvichas nomim over here, how would he have ever been matar? So based on that, says the Tzitz Eliezer, I think from Kain Haga ba'atzmecha, ha'im yesh tzorech tzar v'kev yoyser gadol mizeh shal nidunenu, at sheyigram le'em b'hivoleid lo yitzur kazeh, shekulay oimrim yisurim u'machoivim, u'misasei batuach b'meshach mispar shanim, ve'enei ha'hoirim ro'ois v'kolois be'en lokel yodim lo yeshia, u'mitayin goes on to explain graphically the yisurim that this family is going to have to endure because of the state of the fears that this child is going to be in. He says that this outcome of the birth of this child, the side effects, the tzorech, is much worse than what the Ben Ishchai discussed in his tshuva. He says there's never been a tshuva written that ever described side effects of a leida that can compare to the side effects that, Rachmana Litzlan, this family is going to have to endure as a result of this child being born. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, it's pasha to me, based on the Marit who said l'shem tzorech ha'em you could be mater, based on the Ben Ishchai who said it, and by the way, when he goes through this, he says that if you medayik very carefully in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva, that toich dvarav, one of the things Rabbi Yaakov Emden said was, I quote, v'gam ba'ubber kosher ha'yitzad l'hok. So he says, even Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Shailas Yaivitz already alluded to this. He says, the bottom line is, I think it's something that's okay, and it being that this is something that's okay, bottom line is, he was matarit. And he said it's going to be okay up until the 7th month. Now, the truth is that the fact that he said it's muta up until the 7th month seems like ichidish unto itself. And he doesn't really support it. He doesn't have a makar to that. In fact, that even in the Supreme Court ruling, Roe v. Wade, so when they said that abortion is legal, so what, up until what point is abortion legal? So the language that was used, although it's a little bit unclear, is up until the point of fetal viability, which most commentaries of the Supreme Court ruling understand to be somewhere between 22 and 24 months. So this is in the 5th or 6th month. 22, 24 weeks. 5th to 6th month. Here, we have Rav Waldenberg, who said up until the seventh month it's going to be mutter. This is more mekel than Roe versus Wade. What's the pshat? Because, again, Rav Waldenberg will tell you that 22 to 24 weeks, and fetal viability, this is all svaras krasias. It's rumen svaras, like the Chavis Yar said. These are all baich svaras. What's up doing anything? Fetal viability. He looked at it from the halacha perspective. And from the halacha perspective, the way Rav Waldenberg saw it was, is that by the seventh month, there are certain evarim of the fetus that are fully developed. And he felt that up until the point that some evarim are fully developed, it's still going to be okay. Once there are at least some evarim that are fully developed, that's when it's not okay. That's his svara, his logic. And as a result, he said, up until the seventh month, I'm going to be mad to this. Now, this is the tshuva that Rav Waldenberg wrote in Chelek Yud Gimel, and it was with regards to Tay-Sachs. And again, Tay-Sachs is a very unique diagnosis in that we know for sure that the child is going to have geferlechi yisurim, the child will not be able to live a productive life, and the child is going to live, he writes in this tshuva, up until the age of approximately 4. And it was based on that he said it's going to be okay. But there was another tshuva that he wrote, and it's sort of a follow-up tshuva, and this tshuva is not a Chelek Yud Gimel. This tshuva is a Chelek Yud Dalid, and it's Simen Kuf Aleph. So the first one is Chelek Yud Gimel, Simen Kuf Beis, 102. This one is a Chelek Yud Dalid, it's Simen Kuf Aleph, it's 101. And again, this was written to Dr. Mayer as well. And this shaila is a little bit different. This shaila was with regards to a woman who did a sonogram, and they found that the child is going to be special needs of some sorts. Mentions Down syndrome and different diagnoses. I mean, you have to know the specific diagnosis of special needs. But it's not nearly as chamer as Tay-Sachs. With Tay-Sachs, he said he wrote his tshuva already, Chelek Yud Gimel. So this was, what if it's not so chamer? What if it's not on that level? Meaning it could be something that's going to take a tremendous toll on the family, and the child will definitely have challenges, some of which will affect perhaps the life expectancy of the child as well. But the point is, it's not on the level of Tay-Sachs. And this was the shaila, is it okay or not okay? Now, it's actually interesting, because there were two shailas that were asked. The first shaila that Dr. Mayer asked was, "Is would it be okay to abort a child like this?" And the second shaila that he said was, assuming it's not okay, and that's certainly the assumption, then should I allow these sonograms and these tests that are done to even be done? The reason not is because maybe there's lifnei evil loisita michshol. Because maybe if we're going to do the test for a secular woman who doesn't keep Das Torah, so maybe I have to be concerned that she's going to find out that this child that she's carrying is, you know, it's going to be a tremendous challenge, and she may elect to do a legal abortion in the state of Israel. So that was a shaila. Is there even a lifnei evil component? Meaning im timtzel loymar that you can't abort such a child. So maybe I have to worry. This is a hospital that's being run up, so maybe we have to worry. You can't even do these tests. Because maybe these tests are going to lead to Lifnei Iver. So as it relates to the Lifnei Iver, says Rav Waldenberg, something we spoke about in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin. And that is, Dachreinim say, the Chasam Sofer says in Yerideh Asim Yotes, that the only time this Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol is if you know 100, it's just Bishmak, the Teres Chayim, how the place can bring these lumdas and these svaras that we learn together to real life. He says, the only time you have to be worried about this is if you know 100% sure that an Avera is going to be done. But if you don't know 100% that the Avera is going to be done, then there's no problem of Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol. So said Rav Waldenberg, do you know for sure that the Avera is going to be done? Number one, you're going to take the test, and Ruba the Ruba of children, and the test comes out fine. So Metzah sharing is going to be fine when you do the test. And based on that, you don't have to worry, because most likely it is not even going to be a shaila. Now, there is a miut of times that there is a shaila. Maybe this person will want to abort the child. Not every person elects to do an abortion, obviously. And then see, even if they decide, this is what he wrote, that they want to do an abortion, maybe the abortion will be mutter. Because I'm not telling you unequivocally that it's aser. Unbelievable. He said, in fact, that every single time a woman is carrying the child and they take tests and it comes back that there may be some shaila with the health of the child, ask a shaila and maybe it's going to be okay. Says Rav Waldenberg, you hear what I'm telling you? He writes so beautifully. He says, Hidgashti lichtoif. He says, I was very careful. Hidgashti with a dalid. Dagush. Right? I emphasize. She'ein l'kavui b'zeh ha'iroz had to cloak. Meaning, I told you ask a shaila, because although I can't tell you unequivocally, like I did in Chelek Yud Gimel regarding the Tay-Sachs disease, that it's mutter, but as it relates to, I can't tell you it's aser either, because sometimes it's going to be mutter. Why would it sometimes be mutter? And Rav Waldenberg chazes over the tshuva that he wrote in Chelek Yud Gimel.
albeit much more bekitzer, the abridged version. And he says, because I already told you, that if there's a tzorich gadol based on a one-liner of Yaakov Emden and a tshuva from the Rav Palim, the Ben Ishchai, and the tshuvas of the Marit and Tzadik Zion and Tzadik Tes, that with tzorich gadol, you're allowed to go ahead and do this. So if that's the case, this could be a case of tzorich gadol as well. And he brings a story, he says, that happened with him, where there was a young couple that came to him, and he said they had two children that were born with some diagnosis, and they both died. And after the second child died, the woman, the mother, was very traumatized. And as a result, she was afraid to have any other children, and she didn't want to be with her husband, Bederech Ishus, and it was affecting their Shalom Bayis, and the whole family was falling apart. And something very, very terrible was happening. He says, they came to him to talk to him. So Valdenberg said like this. He says, you know what I told him? I says, you should try to have another child, and you should go for the test. And if it comes back that it's not okay, I'll be mocked with the abortion. That's what he did to save the family. And he says, Lamaisa, she became pregnant, and they went and they took the test, and the child lived, and it's a gezintekind. He said, but it all worked because of my Yetzer. So he says, I'm telling you, is this not a tzairich gadol? So he writes in his tshuva, unbelievable. Is this not a tzairich gadol? I saved the family. So of course this was a tzairich gadol. So he says, either way. Then he says that somebody told him, he writes this in parentheses, that somebody told him that maybe there's a cheshbon of Alpi Kabbalah not to do this. He says, somebody told him that Alpi Kabbalah, there's an idea that when children are born with certain, you know, illnesses, loyaleinu, that it could be in the ulamas, these neshamas, the special neshamas, and they have a tikkun. So, you know, maybe you're not supposed to get involved in neshama digazachin. So maybe let the child be born. And what do you, if David still wants this family to have this child, why are you starting up with that? So he says it's true. He says he hears that. I mean, if as a shteit al pi kabbalah, then he's not arguing with that. But he says you can never mix and match kabbalah and halacha. Halacha l'chud and kabbalah l'chud. And for that, he still su a tshuva. The Chassam Sofer's tshuva is actually a fascinating tshuva. It was written to the Trister Rav, where apparently the Trister Rav had gone away, had gone overseas, and he comes back. Somebody told me we didn't speak at a Chassam Sofer recently. Here's your Chassam Sofer. So, by the way, recently means like 4 days. But either way, so the Trister Rav came, he was far away, and he comes back to the Shtot, and there was a Kabbalah Skal. Everybody came to greet the Rav, the Rebbe, the Meir Tzedek, the Dayan, the Bezdin, and they all came to him, and he comes, and it was apparently he had come from overseas, and he walks, they make this big Suda, and at the Suda, he gets up, and he makes a bracha. And there was a big tovo. People started getting very angry at the Rav. He said, Rebbe, if you don't make a goymel at night, you don't make it at night. So they will love them. Then what do you mean? Why? What's Rechem Lohitz can I get the carbon tied? The carbon you couldn't bring at night. Beyond Tzavsis B'nai Yisrael, HaKav is carbon A. Only by your Nabal Ailis. How can you bench on goymel? And besides, the minute Yisrael is, you do it when you get an Aliyah. You get an Aliyah, you know, you're Hagbar or Galila, and then you go ahead and you bench on goymel. At least somebody else gets, right? It's not in front of a Sefer Torah. It says you're going connected the minute of Klai Yisrael. And then these Chevra told the Rav, and by the way, when we're on the topic of the Rebbe going connected a minute, I've seen you do other things, Shalai Kenega the Minig, because apparently the Rav had a nephew that was on his bezdin, and they were Masad the Gittin together. You're not allowed to be Masad the Gittin together. Either way, the Trist the Rav sent the Shail to the Chassam Sofer. He wanted to know from the Chassam Sofer, am I wrong what I'm doing? Am I not right what I'm doing? So either way, the Chassam Sofer first wrote a tshuva about benching a gadol at night. Then he wrote a tshuva about having your nephew as being Masad you get, which Chassam Sofer held was wrong. He said that's not something you're allowed to do. He gave him very stark teichacha. He said that's not the right thing to do. But then at the end, he writes like this. He says, I want you to know that minhagim, you know what the Olam is saying, that if it's true that you know you can't be a mezalzel in minhagim. Minhagim is a very important thing, and he says he talks about it all the time. That's what the Chassam Sofer wrote. But he said one thing I will tell you, that if they were tining that the minhagim that you were violating were more in the world of Kabbalah, meaning you were following the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, but what you were doing wasn't ois kahalten in halacha. Listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. He says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, im nelamim loyavoy. He said, when it comes to nelamim, play on words, it comes to Kabbalah loyavoy, you can't mix it together with halacha. V'chein ani oimer, kol ha-ma'arev divrei Kabbalah, im halacha is ha-psukos, chayev mishum zereya kelayim. He's chayef a kalayim. You're mixing and matching. You're mixing kalayim. Pentukta shamalei azer ashat Tizra. So that's not something you're allowed to do. So it says it's Tzitz Eliezer. I'm not. Of course it's true. And these neshamas are hichad or hoibin neshamas. But you ask me a shayla and halacha. I'm writing a tshuva. And as it relates to halacha, you can't be ma'ar of these things. The bottom line is, this is what Rav Waldenberg wrote. Rav Waldenberg said that as it relates to the Tay-Sachs disease, he said it was mutter up until the 7th month. Beyond the state of quote unquote fetal viability, as it relates to other diagnoses, yes, ask a shayla, and the shayla has to know the family, has to be ma'ayin. But the point is, there are times when it's going to be okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein, after he brings Rav Yaakov Emden's tshuva, and says, Sharile Mori, the Rav Yaakov Emden, the Ein Lahashkiach al tshuva soizu. He says, Boche. I'm skipping. Nishtoimanti. I was amazed. Beroisi tshuva michocham echad beretz Yisrael. When I saw a tshuva from a chocham echad, he doesn't want to say who it was. Hanichtav leminal beis hachoyim Shari Tzedek. It was written to the menal, the CEO of Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. The nitfas bechuberes as yudid gimel, which is, by the way, a giveaway, because who else has Chelek Yud Gimel in the Shailos Tshuvas? Rav Moshe wanted you to know who it was, but he didn't want to mention his name. It says it's written in Chelek Yud Gimel. Hamater hayladosh al yedei pchinas haroifim kshu oiv uber yoiser migimel chadashim, more than 3 months shahuber b'machlas teisak slapiloi umitzad zehiktim, he was machdim sheetzam harigas ubarim hu laharbi poiskin rachmid rabot vafim hu medai raiso rachmishum geder ben yonish aloyla avol machmas ibn nefashos ein nidut kla vehevi marit hatshuva desim tzadik tes hamater v'loi hisker. But what he failed to mention, did Rav Alderman, it's Rav Moshe writing, Sheba Simen Tzadik Zayin Oyser. The other rabbi, who kosav, Shegam Betshuva Simen Tzadik Zayin Mater. He said, Rav Alderberg said that the Marut was Mater in Simen Tzadik Zayin. Moshe says, not true. The Marut was, he was Oyser in Simen Tzadik Zayin. Then he writes, Vegam Kosav, he wrote, Shashelis Yavitz Mater. That the Shelis Yavitz was Mater. Avsha Osar Beferish. Even though he said it's awesome. Bishvil, what did the Tzitz Eliezer mean? Because there was one line, we said in Rav Yaakov Emden's tshuva, he wrote v'gam ba'uber kosher yesh tzad lahakel v'tzayrich gadol. So he says avsha baru poshit the yosh the loshen yesh tzad lahakel hu kasher omer. But at the same time, what else does it mean? She yesh yosit stadim lesser, that there's more stadim to aser. So it's true, Rav Yaakov Emden said there's a tzad lahakel. But how do you paskin based on that? L'maiser, Rav Yaakov Emden's clearly implying that there's more tzadim to say it's aser. Could the masakai yayvitz al zeh, like the Rav Yaakov Emden comes out, he was only matter at the end of the day because of the svara of Gavrik Tola. V'ashay is the tshuva's Rav Paulim, and as it relates to the tshuva of the Ben Ishchai, that he quoted, what did the Ben Ishchai? Did the Ben Ishchai paskin in that tshuva? He said he didn't even paskin. Hoyoyore lifslik bazeh. He was afraid to paskin. So he says, at the end of the day, I don't understand. He said, Rav Alderberg based it on a Marit. Marit wrote two tshuvas. One tshuva, he taka said it's mutter, but then there's another tshuva, he said it's aser. So, ayu machriya. He said, Rav Yaakov Emden said, there's a tzad lahokel. Yesh tzad lahokel sounds like there's many tzadim lesser. And he said, the Ben Ishchai, the Rav Paulim, he never paskin the Ben Ishchai. So, you're right, he presented it. Clearly, there's, I'm not saying there's no such tzad. But at the end of the day, how could you come out with halachas, things that are negei shvichas damu when it comes to this, says Rav Moshe, and this is the final that we'll end with, ubaru pashat, kidagasafti halacha brura, al pi rabbi seinu arishoinim, hamefarshim, vahapoiskim, sha'asr bedim ritzicha mamash, kol uber ben kosher ben mamzer, ben stam ubrim, uben hayuduin l'choyli tesex, she'kulam asurim bidina mamash, ve'in litois ve'lismaych al tshuvas chacham zeh, v'shari le'mare, bozeh, HaKoysev v'choysem l'chvoida ha-toyra v'dino emes choysoncho ke'ovichos. This was written to Rav Moshe's Eden, Rav Moshe Tendler. Signs off, Rav Moshe Feinstein.